to be a politician and take over this beautiful land. I want to grow up to be a politician and be the old U.S. of A's number one man. I'll always be tough, but I'll never be scary. I want to shoot guns or butter my bread. I work in the towns or conservate the prairies. And you can believe the future's ahead. I'll give the young the right to vote as soon as they mature, but spare the rod and spoil the child to help them feel secure. And if I win election day, I might give you a job. I'll sign a bill to help the poor to show I'm not a snob. I'll open my door, I'm charging no admission, and you can be sure I'll give you my hand. I want to grow up to be a politician and take over this beautiful land. And I'll defend until the end the old red, white, and blue. I want to grow up to be a politician and take over this beautiful land. And take over this beautiful land. And take over this beautiful land.
The following program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
Without freedom of the press, no democratic form of government could exist.
We switch you now to London.
I'm standing on a rooftop looking out over London.
Good night and good luck.
Good evening from our CBS newsroom in New York.
NBC presents Chet Huntley and David Brinkley.
From ABC, this is World News Tonight with Peter Jennings in London, Max Robinson in Chicago, and from our desk in Washington, Frank Reynolds.
Good evening.
This historic legislation, the telecommunications law, will create many, many high-wage jobs, will create opportunity and better lives for all Americans.
When the press is free, the people of a country are free. When the press is not free, the people of a country are in danger of slavery.
Keeping you informed with information, news, and the views of people making the news. It's the Nicole Sandler Show on NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
All right, welcome to a Thursday. Speaking of the press, no, the press is not free. We have a White House briefing going on, or as Laffey refers to it, a lying session. Audio only yet again. And Mick Mulvaney, the director of the Office of Management and Budget, was on hand with some charts, showing charts on an audio only briefing. Just brilliant. Now, if you're wondering what all the cable channels were showing, well, that's easy. They were all showing the O.J. Simpson parole hearing. And in case you weren't paying attention, O.J. Simpson has been granted parole. He will be out as soon as October 1st. After serving almost 9 years in a Nevada prison for robbery, didn't serve any time for killing his ex-wife and her friend. But, you know, there's that. So lucky us, he's going to come down here to Florida. Yeah. Maybe he'll run for office. Wouldn't that be a good thing? Ay, ay, ay. It is Thursday. That means Howie Klein will be along. There's a lot to talk about today in the world of politics. And somebody that Howie introduced us to, that I want to introduce to you, is Randy Brice. Now, you've likely heard his name because Randy Brice is running for Congress. He is running against Paul Ryan for his seat, the 1st Congressional District of Wisconsin. And the thing that got the world's attention, honestly, was a campaign kickoff video that Randy Brice put out. So I'm going to share that with you right now.
Say a few words. Congratulations on a job well done.
This is repealing and replacing Obamacare. Everybody doesn't get what they want.
Paul Ryan speaking.
It's a very painful condition. It's like hot knives going through, and you can't talk.
That's Randy Bryce's mother.
It's terrible. I'm going to cry. I'm on 20 drugs, and if I don't take the one that costs them thousands of dollars, I don't know what would happen. He has to give me a bear hug.
My mom is probably the most important person in my life. She was diagnosed with multiple sclerosis. There's no doubt in my mind that there are thousands of people like her that don't have what she has. The system is extremely flawed. I work every day so that me and my son have insurance. I've been an iron worker for 20 years. I work hard and I earn every penny that I make. And I know everybody that I work with is the same way. I've spent my entire life in southeastern Wisconsin. I can see what people need. I could do so much more, and I will do so much more, taking my voice, taking our voice, and what we need to Washington, D.C. I decided to run for office because not everybody's seated at the table, and it's time to make a bigger table. I'm the best person to represent this district because I'm a working person. If somebody falls behind, we're so much stronger if we carry them with us. That's the way I was raised. You look out for each other. I think it's time, let's trade places. Paul Ryan, you can come work the iron, and I'll go to D.C.
Great.
We can do so much better together as a community, and our future depends on it.
Randy Bryce for Congress.com. So Randy Bryce, whoops, let me do this. RandyBryceForCongress.com is where you can find his website. Let's get Randy on the phone now. I believe he's expecting our call. He seems pretty damn impressive. Got to say that much.
Hello, this is Randy.
Hey, Randy, it's Nicole Sandler calling. How are you doing today?
Good. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine. It's very nice to talk with you. Howie Klein introduced you to our audience, so it's got to be at least a month or two ago, it seems, by now. And okay. So I feel like we already know you, but we wanted to get to know you a little better today.
Okay, that'd be great.
So we're on the air. What made you decide? What was the one thing that made you say, you know what, I'm going to do this? Was there one turning point?
It was actually during the May Day parade in Milwaukee, tens of thousands of people. I had been approached the week before by the Working Families Party that, they said, we're looking for a working person to run for Congress against Paul Ryan. But it was actually on that May Day, that May 1st, when Senator Larson walked up to me and he said, there's somebody that I know, a retired record producer, looking to match somebody up with some good connections and to run against Paul Ryan. So, and that would be Howie. And So this is Howie. Thank you, and this is all your fault at the same time.
Well, Howie's on this program every Thursday, so he'll be following you at the bottom of the hour. So I will tell him you said
that. Great.
You mentioned
That's
Senator great. Larson. You know, a lot of us, and I live in Florida, a lot of us around the country got to know, it's Chris Larson, right? Got to know of him during the days when there were massive protests going on at the state capitol in Wisconsin. Was that right. when you became...
Right.
became involved in politics? I mean, you're an iron worker. How did you become an activist?
Well, I had always been an advocate on behalf of, labor issues, working people issues, safe working conditions, good wages, having health insurance. And I would say after Act 10, after Scott Walker and these extremist Republicans took charge and changed everything around, that's when I dove into the deep end of the political world and did everything I possibly could to reverse the course that we're going on. So that definitely had a lot to do with it. And I'll never forget the day when the Fab 14, as they were called in Wisconsin, came back. They returned from Illinois, and it was like the largest crowd, over like 150,000 people around the Capitol. I was there that day, and it definitely was a moment to remember.
Have you met Paul Ryan?
A couple of times we've crossed paths, and I mean he seems like a likable guy, but that just hides the fact of these, you know, and people call, I've heard him called, you know, names saying he's a horrible person. And the fact is that he may not be a horrible person, but he's advocating on behalf of some horrible ideas that are, I mean, could literally, the cause of life and death for some people.
Well, you got that right. So since you opened that door, Randy Bryce, let's go. Let's talk about healthcare. You're a cancer survivor. I'm a cancer survivor.
Yes.
There are a lot of us out there. And I don't know, you're a working iron worker, right? So do you have insurance through your
Correct.
Job?
Correct. And we're self-insured, so it's based on hours worked.
Oh, wow. That's interesting, because you know, my insurance is through the Affordable Care Act, and without that,
oh, good for you.
Well, good for me for now.
For now,
yeah, because I live in, you know, abject horror that they're going to take it away, and that, you know, being a 57-year-old woman, I have other, you know, just being alive this long, you have pre-existing conditions, but having the big C,
sure.
That's a biggie, and without the Affordable Care Act, I believe I'll be unable to get insurance again. This is frightening. And any thoughts on what they're doing? The revolving door of game playing over these repeal and replace or repeal and delay bills going on now?
It's absolutely inhumane. And it just blows my mind that not only are they, and don't let anybody fool any of your listeners or yourself. It's not that this is something that we're going to lose. You know, lose implies misplacing. Mm. This is something that these Republicans, led by Paul Ryan, are actively trying to take away from us. The protections that are already in place from Obamacare are keeping people, you know, like yourself, able to get medical help. And that doesn't even cover, that's, you know, there's still so many people that don't even, can't even get that. But it's like a horror story. And that was one of the reasons why we looked at doing, you know, like healthcare as being the introductory issue, because it's an intergenerational issue that, I mean, it affects my son. If I, you know, in the wintertime, if we're not working a lot because of the weather, I work outside most of the time, my hours go down and my son wants to go play outside. I have to, you know, in the back of my head, I'm like, is our insurance less because I haven't worked enough? How many hours do I have? And so it shouldn't be a thing like, well, if I worked enough, then I can let my son go be a kid. That's just wrong. You know, and being a cancer survivor, if I become unable to physically do my job, it's a very physically demanding job. If I can't do it, what am I going to do for healthcare when I try to, you know, get it someplace else? If having a pre-existing condition, and then again, for somebody like my mom, who's the star of the video, it's, you know, my dad's also, he's not in the video, but he has Alzheimer's, so he's in assisted living. And luckily he, you know, he's a retired police officer for the city of Milwaukee. So he had, you know, they're covered, as far as insurance goes. But for my mom, if she didn't have that insurance, you know, and it's crazy just considering my mom lucky who has MS,
right?
But she's lucky because she has health insurance. And that's, I mean, that's a crazy concept in the United States in the year 2017, but that's not just her health. That's her independence. If she didn't have access to health care, she wouldn't be able to go to the grocery store. She wouldn't be able to go see my dad on a daily basis. So it's so much bigger of an issue. And it's just the idea of them taking away our access to health care in order that rich people can keep more money. It's I don't think there's a word in the dictionary to describe what a horrible concept that is.
It is.
It's monstrous.
It is monstrous. It's inhumane. And these people just don't understand the human toll. And that's what gets me. Randy Bryce, you're an Army veteran.
Yes, I am. Proud Army veteran. I spent 3 years. It was during the Cold War from 83 to 86. I was stationed at Fort Bragg, North Carolina, as part of the 18th Airborne Corps, the Rapid Deployment Forces, and I spent some time on deployment in Honduras. So I was in Central America when there was a lot of things going on at that time.
What do you think about the way Donald Trump is running things in terms of the military? The word is that he's given his Defense Department free rein to pull off missions. Like, he doesn't have to approve dropping of massive bombs or anything. Does this make sense to you as a veteran?
It's just done, period. As a veteran, I'm appalled by it because there's talk now of closing down a veteran's home that aided homeless veterans. I worked with homeless veterans as one of my first jobs when I got my honorable discharge from the Army. And it's just been a lot worse as far as, I mean, you know, they'll talk about how much they love veterans, and it's not really veterans, it's soldiers. They love us when we're when we're catching bullets or dodging bullets on behalf of the country. But once we return home, they don't want to do anything to get us back to have some sense of normalcy. You know, and the amount of money spent on destruction of other countries and even rebuilding other countries compared to the care that we get when we get back home, you know, both physically and sometimes more so mentally, because you're not, once you're in any kind of a conflict like that, where it's life and death, there's no way that people can be the same as you know, once they get back. And it's another thing that it blows my mind how little they think of us when we're here, you know. And Donald Trump he talked about sending all kinds of money to the veterans when he was running, making promises that it was very disingenuous. I don't think he had any intent on keeping that. He's all about sound bites to make him sound good.
All right. Well, he also said he wasn't going to cut Medicaid or Medicare, or, you know, everyone would have insurance and it would be terrific and fantastic and better than what we have now. So, no, that's exactly it. But the VA, now, do you have access to the VA as a veteran?
I haven't needed to. And I mean, when I had cancer, it happened so quick. I think I may have been able to get some help from them, but I mean, I went and after having a test and the doctor I saw, he wanted to remove the tumor right away. So it wasn't something that there was any time to apply and wait for the paperwork to go through back then. And now I have insurance through the union. And so I don't use resources that I don't need, so they're available for other people that really need them. So, I mean, that's just my outlook.
Gotcha.
On things.
Now, I'm wondering, because I'm circling back around to healthcare, because that is the key issue, I think, on most of our minds today, as Mitch McConnell is promising now two votes. The latest I heard is Rand Paul said he would vote on the motion to proceed on the repeal and replace as long as he's promised a vote on a straight repeal. The games that they're playing in D.C. are just horrific because they're playing games with people's lives. But my question is, are you a fan of a single payer, of a Medicare for all program? Is that the way you see out of this? How would you fix the mess we're in?
Definitely. I'm looking forward to getting elected so I can. One of the first things I want to do is sign on to the Conyers bill, Medicare for all. Absolutely.
Great. I don't know if you saw this. It was last week or the week before. Congresswoman Barbara Lee had an amendment. She's on the Defense Appropriations Committee. They were doing the appropriations bill, and she had an amendment that had a repeal of the AUMF, the Authorization for Use of Military Force, from 2001, and it passed almost unanimously. Well, apparently, sometime in the dead of night, here I'll just read Barbara Lee's tweet. Paul Ryan stripped her 01 AUMF repeal amendment from DOD appropriations in the dead of night. This is underhanded and undemocratic. The people deserve a debate. Should we still be fighting under that AUMF?
That was crazy too. Just, you know, and the timing of it, that's something that's happening in Wisconsin where they're passing the most horrible of legislation in the middle of the night. That we need to find a way, as far as I'm concerned, the best way to me is to make them a friend. And I understand that there are times when we need to defend ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
But the way I see us handling more situations is by building up coalitions, not attacking them, not attacking our own intelligence agencies that provide us with ways that we can work together. I find it very difficult for other countries to look at us as a possible ally when we're continually dropping bombs. I'd rather see us, you know, like building schools, and building bridges, relationships. And this was, you know, I can't believe, well, I shouldn't say I can't believe because it happened. And I'm becoming less and less surprised by things that happen in a government, but, let's find ways to get along with people, and not removing things that, you know, let us make us talk about why are we attacking somebody? Why are they an enemy? Let's talk about it, not just give somebody, unilateral decision making that could have serious consequences.
That's right.
And
that's right.
I mean, you know, Donald Trump, his foreign policy, it seems to be different every day depending on what he feels like sharing with us on Twitter.
It is quite frightening following him. You're trying to. I keep saying we're getting whiplash because you don't never know which, you know, side he's coming from on the next turn. Randy Bryce is with us. He is the candidate for Congress from Wisconsin's 1st Congressional District running against Paul Ryan. Have you gotten any response? I know we talked about the video. I played it actually before I brought you on, your introductory video that got a lot of attention. It helped raise some good money, which is a great way to kick off a campaign. Features your mom and your son and yourself and health care, which again is a major issue for so many of us right now. I'm wondering if you've heard anything from the DCCC.
We stopped there earlier this week. We were there and had discussions with them, just pretty much to touch base and, you know, have face to face to actually get to meet them in person. So, you know, there were conversations as far as, you know, what they can do for candidates. And, you know, the 1st Congressional District is not one of their targets right now. We're definitely hoping to change their mind and let them know that it's a very winnable seat.
Yes.
But there is no, you know, we're moving ahead. Based on, you know, the resources that we know we have, and we're doing great now. If they want to come aboard and help out in any way possible, fine. But I mean, it's our campaign and we have a phenomenal team and, you know, these are the people I trust. They've gotten us to where we are now. And, I'm going to rely on their plans and ideas to move ahead.
Well, Election Day is still a long ways off. You got about a year and a half. So you're pacing yourself well. I mean, a lot of running for office, unfortunately, is dialing for dollars. So far, you've gotten off to a good start. How do people get in touch? How do they volunteer? How do they help?
We have a website, www.randybriceforcongress.com. There's a place to, you know, you can fill out for volunteer there. There's also a link to Act Blue to donate. And there's a snail mail address too. People are sending in just thank you cards for running.
Even, nice.
You know, they're great to read. I read all the mail and everything just, you know, completely, it totally energizes me. And it's a very, different experience right now, sometimes very surreal. But just knowing that so many people are affected by what I'm doing and being so supportive, it just means everything to me.
And your mom and your son, are they very proud of you?
They are. They are. My son, he's like my anchor. He brings me down to earth. Yeah, well, Dad, whatever, Dad. And, you know, his little put downs to just, you're just my dad, and it's great. And I love my time with him. I make sure that we have our time together. And my mom, she really is. She's very proud of me, and it feels good. You know, I call her before we went to Washington, D.C., and it's very good feeling, Oh. And just knowing what I'm doing, it's so much bigger than just me.
Well, it is. And I will, on behalf of my listeners, and I'm watching some of the comments in the chat room go by, thank you for doing this. We need more real people who've lived life and know the trials, the tribulations of what regular people go through on a daily basis. Too many people in D.C. have no clue. Either they've been there too long or they were always on the career path into politics. You're walking the walk, and now you're getting up there and wanting to do good for your fellow human beings and your fellow Wisconsinites, and that's a wonderful thing. Again, people can find you on Twitter at Iron Stash. It's an awesome Twitter handle.
And, thank you.
And Randy Bryce with a Y, B-R-Y, Randy with a Y, Bryce with a Y for Congress.com. I'll put links to all of this up on my blog at NicoleSandler.com. I hopefully we can stay in touch over the next 18 months and beyond once you get to D.C.
I would love to. Any friend of Howie's is a friend of mine.
I say the same
thing.
Thank you so much. Randy Bryce, thank you. Really appreciate it. And best of luck. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Have a great day.
You too. Bye-bye. Randy Bryce, there you have it. Yes, Randy Bryce for Congress.com. He is the Iron Stash. Iron, S-T-A-C-H-E, and if you see the picture that I have up on the YouTube feed, you'll understand, because he's got the mustache. He's the real deal, and there's a reason that video I played at the beginning resonated with so many people, because he is real. This is what we need. I didn't want to put him in a position to ask him to be too critical of the Democrats. I was wondering what kind of reception he got from the DCCC, and it sounded like it was lukewarm at best, because they don't go up against leadership. They just don't do it. But I just read on Twitter a little while ago that the Democrats' new slogan for 2018 is, I hope you're sitting down, better skills, better jobs, better wages. I'm just being silent to let that sink in for a moment. Better skills, better jobs, better wages? What the fuck? Oh my God, we're in trouble. All right. I hope that wasn't the final. Maybe that was just a final list and not the final thing. Oh God, I hope not. Anyway, Howie Klein's going to be along in just a moment. You know what? I just realized I put up the wrong What's News. So bear with me while I find the right one to play for you. You know what? I think I have it right here. So we'll do What's News. We'll come back with Howie Klein on the other side. Stick around. I'm Nicole Sandler at NicoleSandler.com and on the Progressive Voices Network. I read the news
today, oh boy. It's time for Nicole Sandler's What's News from NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
Sad news broke Wednesday evening when it was reported that Senator John McCain has been diagnosed with glioblastoma, an aggressive form of brain cancer. His friend Lindsey Graham spoke to reporters.
We talked about 5 minutes. You know, it's going to be a tough way forward, but he says, I've been through worse. And basically, then we started talking about health care and the NDA. Literally, it wasn't 5 minutes until he turned away from what I think most people would have a hard time absorbing and focused on what he loves the best. So pray. God knows how this ends, not me. But I do know this. This disease has never had a more worthy opponent.
At a Wednesday afternoon lunch at the White House, the president tried to get the Republicans' bills to repeal and replace or repeal and delay a replacement for the Affordable Care Act back to the land of the living.
We're in this room today to deliver on our promise to the American people to repeal Obamacare and to ensure that they have the health care that they need. We have no choice. We have to repeal and replace Obamacare. We can repeal it, But the best is repeal and replace, and let's get going. I intend to keep my promise, and I know you will too.
At one point, he tried to make light of Senators Lee and Moran blindsiding him the night before by simultaneously coming out against the repeal and replace bill. And then he took aim at Nevada's Senator Dean Heller, the most vulnerable Republican senator in 2018.
The other night, I was very surprised when I heard a couple of my friends, they really were and are. They might not be very much longer, but that's okay. I think I have to get them back.
That's right.
Well, no, you didn't go out there. This was the one we were worried about. You weren't there, but you're going to be. Look, he wants to remain a senator, doesn't he? Okay.
Trump shockingly appeared to make stuff up about the bill. At one point, even promising the premiums would go down 60 to 70% with forms of insurance that we don't even know about yet.
Cross country lines. Cross state lines, where it's almost impossible for insurance companies to compete in different states. We can't, because of, unfortunately, the 60 votes put that here, but it's going to come very soon. We're putting it in a popular bill, and that will come. And that will come, and your premiums will be down 60 and 70%. People don't know that. Nobody hears it. Nobody talks about it. But your premiums are going to, we're going to have the cross state lines knocked out, and you'll have insurance companies bidding. You'll have forms of insurance that you don't even know about right now, because that's the way it works. There's going to be tremendous competition.
We don't know about it because it's simply not true. As all this was going on, the CBO released the scores on the repeal now and delay replacement bill, finding that upwards of 17 million people would lose insurance in 2018 alone, with 32 million more people uninsured by 2026 and premiums rising across the board. On Wednesday night, a group of GOP senators met late into the night on the same subject, but reportedly emerged without a breakthrough. Now, as all that was happening, the New York Times released a remarkable new interview with the president in which he threw his Justice Department under the bus. Of his Attorney General, Jeff Sessions, he said,
Sessions gets the job. Right after he gets the job, he recuses himself.
Was that a mistake?
Well, Sessions should have never recused himself. And if he was going to recuse himself, he should have told me before he took the job, and I would have picked somebody else. Mm-hmm.
He gave you no heads up at all in any sense.
Zero. Okay. Mm-hmm. So Jeff Sessions takes the job, gets into the job, recuses himself. I then have, which frankly, I think is very unfair to the president. How do you take a job and then recuse yourself? If he would have recused himself before the job, I would have said, thanks, Jeff, but I can't, you know, I'm not going to take you. It's extremely unfair, and that's a mild word, to the president. So he recuses himself. I then end up with a second man.
According to the Times interview, the president also accused James Comey, the FBI director he fired in May, of trying to leverage a dossier of compromising material in order to keep his job. Trump criticized both the acting FBI director, who's been filling in since Comey's dismissal, and the deputy attorney general who recommended it. As for Robert Mueller, the special counsel now leading the investigation into Russian meddling in last year's election, Trump said he was running an office rife with conflicts of interest and warned investigators against delving into matters too far afield from Russia.
Mueller was looking at your finances, your family's finances, unrelated to Russia. Is that a red line?
Would that be a breach of what his actual...
I would say yes. Yeah, I would say yes.
And finally, Donald Trump Jr. and former Trump campaign chairman Paul Manafort have been asked to testify before the Senate Judiciary Committee next Wednesday on a panel about foreign influence in elections. Jared Kushner has also been asked to testify, he before a closed-door panel of the Senate Intelligence Committee on Monday. As they say, stay tuned. And that's a bit of what's news for now. I'm Nicole Sandler. If you appreciate these segments and the Nicole Sandler Show, I hope you'll consider supporting what we do. Our work is 100% listener funded, and we can't do it without you. Find out more at NicoleSandler.com/donate.
The Nicole Sandler Show is 100% listener supported. Have you given yet? Nicole decided not to put her show behind a paywall, knowing that many can't afford the luxury of paying for a podcast. But if you're able to, she needs your financial support to continue doing this. Consider a monthly subscription. Give when you can. Just visit NicoleSandler.com/donate. Remember, she can't do this without you.
Are you a multinational corporation hungry for a treat? Well, come on down to Schmucky Chucky's, where you'll personally be seated by Chuck Schumer himself.
So many dishes, and they're all fresh.
You're gonna love our Blue Dog special, the Dino Burger, because we say so.
A good hamburger and french fries.
And every burger comes with a side order of...
grits. I love grits. I love anything with corn. It's corn.
All for only $50,000. Wash it all down with a Dirty Debbie.
9/10 water, 1/10 orange juice. After a week or two, you drink this, it's 200 calories and it's acidic.
And wipe your mouth with a tissue print of Glass-Steagall. For dessert, try our DNC tarts.
Little cookies, tell the quality of that.
Most restaurants give you a mint, but at Schmucky Chucky's, you get complimentary.
Sweet and low.
Who picks up the tab for all this? Find out now with Howie Klein of DownWithTyranny.com on The Nicole Sandler Show.
All right. Hello, Howie Klein.
Hey, Nicole. How are you?
I'm doing well. How about you?
I'm doing good. How is Randy?
Randy was great. He seems like, like I said, he's just the real deal, which is so refreshing right about now. We have so many people in Washington, D.C. who are either they've been there way too long, or that was their career trajectory all along, was just to be in Congress. And here's Randy Brice, a guy who's lived a life, has real life experiences, and that's what made him want to run for office, to help the people around him. It is quite refreshing.
Good.
Yeah.
And,
I
was hoping that your audience would like him, and that they would, get to meet someone who they found refreshing and different.
Yes, well, I think they did. You know, I didn't want to put him in the position of having to criticize the party. I don't know if you saw this. It came across Twitter a little while ago, so I don't know if it's for real, if it's like the official new slogan, but based on the comments I saw, I think it is. It was being touted as the Democrats' new slogan for 2018, and it is better skills, better jobs, better wages.
So sad.
It is so sad. I mean,
when you look at all of the energy that's out there now propelling the Democratic Party towards a huge victory in 2018, and then just leave it to the DCCC to come up with something that's going to like absolutely mean nothing.
Nothing.
I mean, it's not a bad thing, but it's not anything.
It's nothing. It's nothing. Well, because they didn't talk about jobs enough when Hillary Clinton was running. So, okay, better skills, better jobs, better wages. Really? How about?
I mean,
healthcare.
They can't go into anything like they can't talk about policies like single payer, free college education, a livable wage. They can't talk about those things because they have stocked the party up with so much garbage, so many horrible blue dogs that are just trash. That if they talk about any policies that motivate people and activate the Democratic base, all those horrible blue dog candidates that they have and incumbents will all be left out and feel bad, and it won't apply to them. I mean, when you look at you take something like single payer, which is probably the single biggest factor right now for the Democratic base,
mm-hmm.
And then you look there. I think there are 115. Democrats in the House who have signed on to that. So that's the big majority of House Democrats have signed on to single payer as co-sponsors. I'm talking about the Medicare for All bill that
sure.
John Conyers introduced.
Right.
And then, so who didn't sign on to it? Of course, the Blue Dogs and the New Dems. In other words, the Republican wing of the Democratic Party. So there were reports last week, and I posted about this, that the DCCC had decided that they are going to work with the Blue Dogs to recruit more Blue Door candidates. And that's what they've been doing everywhere in the country.
Amazing.
So wherever I look, I'm seeing these candidates who do not support single payer. They're not for it any more than a Republican is for it. Some of them kind of fake it a little bit, but when you go beneath the surface, they're not for it at all. And, you know, they're not for $15 minimum wage, and they're not for free college education. And they're basically, that's why they're from the Republican wing of the Democratic Party. That's where they're at. And this is what this is the garbage that the DCCC, the Democratic Congressional Campaign Committee, is recruiting. And what they're trying to do is step on progressives who are trying to run in these districts and trying to drive them out of the races. And in instead insert these people who are, many of them are some of them are ex-Republicans. Some of them are New Dems, and some of them are Blue Dogs, and Blue Dogs and New Dems, Blue Dogs new, and New Dems and ex-Republicans.
Right.
You get the whole panoply. None of them are Democrats, though. None of them are Dems. And there's not a place in the country where you don't find this. So I'm not talking about individual, like, oh, look at that one little instance over there in Orange County. No, I'm talking about anywhere in the United States where the Democrats are running, they're looking for these garbage crap candidates that they find at the bottom of a toilet bowl and bring them up and say, here's your wonderful candidate, vote Democratic. And none of these people would win, except now because of all this energy and this gigantic anti-Trump, anti-Republican tsunami that's building, some of them are going to get into office. And this is a problem. They don't deserve to be. They're not part of this energy. They're just trying to glom onto it, and then the DCCC comes up with this silly slogan that captures none of that energy, because they can't. They just can't do it.
Is this how
so pathetic?
Is this a function perhaps of that there's no leader? I mean, one of the cable news shows.
There's no leader. That's the problem. Nancy Pelosi.
Yeah,
she's you know, there's a geriatric leader. That's what the problem is.
You know, I watch, I think it's Katie Turr, and every time she is interviewing a Democrat, she asks, who is the leader of your party? And nobody will ever answer it. You know, I get Nancy Pelosi is the leader of the House Dems, and by virtue of that, she is the de facto leader of the Democratic Party right now. But I don't think anybody... Okay.
Not the de facto leader. I didn't mean she was the de facto leader of the Democratic Party. She's the leader of the House Dems.
Right. So who is the leader of the Democratic Party? Is there one? I mean, every time I hear him speak, I think it's Bernie Sanders. He's the most popular politician out there today by every poll that's ever taken. But the party won't admit it.
Right. So officially, the leader of the Democratic Party would be Tom Perez, who's the head of the DNC. He's a, you know, kind of a centrist. He's not a Blue Dog or a New Dem necessarily. Maybe a little New Dem. He's a centrist Democrat. He was put in by Obama. That's how that wound up happening. And he's a very uninspiring character, and isn't doing the party any good at all. And you know, when we spoke about it when he was running, I kept saying, well, let's give him a chance and let's see if this can turn out okay. And obviously, I was looking for Keith Ellison to win that, but when he didn't win, I said Perez wasn't bad as a labor secretary, and he might turn out to be good. And I was wrong; he's turning out to be a joke. Now he's not a character, a malevolent kind of character like Debbie Wasserman Schultz was the last DNC leader. He's not that bad, but he's not good. I mean, it's not a matter of we should be thankful because he's not bad.
Right.
He's not as bad as Debbie Wasserman Schultz. That's a really low bar. low bar.
Right. That's very true. But the point, I mean, the thing is, he wasn't elected by the people. He was elected by the party people who elected him as chair of the DNC. But in terms of, you know, the popular leader of the party, because we had a failed presidential election, Hillary Clinton certainly isn't the leader of the party. But the party did pass a platform that is wholly different from the kind of shit that they're pulling in recruiting candidates. I mean, they did, right? I mean, the platform was pretty damn progressive, wasn't it? And that's just flown out the window now?
Good point, and absolutely right.
It's frustrating. You have a piece going up, Howie Klein, at Down with Tyranny, I guess in a couple of hours, about another one of these ex-Republicans that is being recruited by the DCCC. What is in I think he's in Orange County, California, Cisneros?
Oh, yes, Gil Cisneros. So Gil is this guy who was working in a Frito-Lay's potato chip factory, and he was a Republican. Mm-hmm. So he's kind of like a, you know, just the guy working in a factory as a Republican, and all of a sudden he won the lottery.
Wow.
Literally won the lottery, $266 million in the lottery, and suddenly he's a rich guy. So now he wants a career in Congress. Okay, what based on what?
Right.
Why? What makes you qualified to go to Congress? But he wants it. And what he's doing is writing checks to every congressman who will support him and writing checks to everybody and promising the DNC, the DCCC, that he'll spend millions and millions and millions of dollars of his own money. He's running in a district where he doesn't live. He's running in of all the Orange County, California districts, the one that Hillary did the best in,
mm-hmm.
so the one that they think they have the best chance of flipping, is California 39. That's Ed Royce's district. And that's not it's not like one of these real rich beach districts. The beach districts are very, very, very wealthy areas. He lives there. He lives in a town that I had never even heard of. He has a $10 million mansion in Newport Coast.
Okay.
You've probably heard of Newport Beach.
Sure.
And that's a very rich area. Newport Coast is the richer area adjacent to Newport Beach.
Wow.
It's even more so.
Got
that's
it.
Where he lives. But that district is looked at as very, very difficult to win. And the DCCC already has a candidate they want to run there. So they just run him in another district, which is an inland district. It's very much a middle class and working class area of Orange County and part of Los Angeles County and part of San Bernardino County. And that's not a place for some rich Republican to come in. And that's Ed Royce's district now. And this guy doesn't know shit from Shinola, excuse my French, but he's writing a lot of checks. That's what he knows how to do, is write a lot of checks, a lot of checks. And the Democrats, I mean, what I heard from someone who works at the DCCC, off the record, he said, you know, the DCCC has just given up on the district. They know he can never win it. He's a loser. But there's so much money involved that they can't turn it down. I mean, that's outrageous. It is outrageous. And there is a really good progressive candidate running in that district, a guy named Sam Jamal, who is, you know, just exactly the kind of candidate that is needed by the Democratic Party. He's young. He's got a lot of energy. He's full of great ideas. And he's from the district, unlike this other guy. This guy would be, Sam would be such a great candidate. And yet now they're going to this guy just because he won the lottery and he's got a lot of money to spend.
God.
It's burning through his pocket. He's willing to write checks for endorsements. That's what he's doing
now. That sucks. And I guess if the DCCC wants to put up someone who's going to self-fund, it's hard to fight that kind of money and still run anyway. But that's what we need people to do, isn't it?
Right. And like I said in the beginning of this, when you asked me the question, guy's an ex-Republican. So what does that mean when you're an ex-Republican? So occasionally, like one in 1,000 times, an ex-Republican will turn out to be good because they changed from being a Republican to a Democrat for all the right reasons. In other words, they believe in the issues.
Elizabeth
so
Warren.
One of my favorite political leaders in America is an ex-Republican.
Right.
I love her.
Right.
It's Elizabeth Warren.
Right.
She was a Republican, and then she saw the light, and it was based only on issues. It's long before she ever thought about running for office. I'm sure she never thought she was going to ever run for office when she changed her party.
Mm-hmm.
But she switched based only on one thing, which is realizing that the Republican Party wasn't for her. She was in the wrong party as a child, and she's now an adult, and looked at the two parties and became a Democrat. But there are a lot of ex-Republicans, since the DCCC is always recruiting them, in Congress. They all suck. They're terrible. They vote with the GOP. You take someone like Charlie Crist.
Yep.
He was a Republican governor of Florida. He was a Republican attorney general of Florida. Mm-hmm. He was pretty bad. And he got destroyed by the Republican Party. They decided they wanted to go with Marco Rubio, more of a Tea Party candidate, and he was trying to be more of a mainstream conservative. And then he turned to an independent. Yep. And then when he realized that independents aren't going to win, he lost an election. He realized independents can't really win. Then he said, I'll be a Democrat.
Yep.
And boom, he's a Democrat, and the Democrats then recruited him to run as a candidate in a district that was going to flip to blue anyway. And now we have him. And what's his voting record like? F.
Wow.
The progressive punch website rates him as an F, and that's because he's voting with the Republicans over and over and over again on every crucial issue. Now he votes with the Democrats when it comes to naming a post office. Oh yeah, he's a Democrat then. Mm-hmm. But any issue that's important, almost every issue that's important, he's a Republican. And is it just Charlie Crist? Of course not. Tom O'Halloran was a Republican state legislator in Arizona. And he, again, mainstream conservative. So we're not talking about he was a liberal who was voting for liberal things. We're talking about a mainstream Republican conservative. But yet he got into trouble with some Tea Party people who were out of their minds. And then he decided to switch to an independent. And then when you can't win as an independent in Arizona either, and he said, I'll try this Democratic thing. So now he's a Democrat. But how? He's voting with the Republicans almost on every vote. And that's what an ex-Republican is. So I'm very skeptical when when the DCCC starts recruiting these people. And they say, we have to have them because these districts are leaning towards Republicans. That is not true. That is just a lie. That is their bogus bullshit. These districts are either going to flip or they're not going to flip. One thing that Harry Truman said that was so true, if somebody wants a Republican, they will vote for the real Republican. Mm-hmm. They're not going to vote for the fake Republican.
Right.
If they want a Republican, they'll vote for the Republican. If they want a Democrat, they'll vote for the Democrat. But guess what happens? The DCCC takes these phony blue dogs and new Dems and ex-Republicans, and they give them this masquerade that they're the Democrat, and then people who aren't following it that closely wind up voting for them in an election like the one that's coming, where it's likely to have a huge anti-Republican wave and Democrats will be swept into office. Then they get in. And then over the next few years, then the activists in the district are usually the first ones to realize that they've been tricked. And then eventually it starts going all through the Democratic community. And then there will come, and it'll probably be in 2022, a midterm election where the Democrats look at this congressman and they say, he's not even a Democrat. Why should I bother to even go to the polls?
That's right.
And this has happened over and over. That's how we wind up with the Republicans in power now. That's exactly what happened in 2006. And then in Obama's first election in 2008, Rahm Emanuel brought in all of these New Dems, Blue Dogs, ex-Republicans. They swept into office in the anti-George Bush waves. And then in 2010, the first midterm after Obama's first election, the Democrats lost 63 seats on one day. They lost every seat of all these New Dems and Blue Dogs, and ex-Republicans were defeated, and they dragged down other Democrats.
Sure.
So that was a catastrophe. And the Democrats are literally following that exact same script right now. They plan to win in 2018, and then in 2020 when there's a presidential election, and then they'll lose everything again in 2022. I mean, what kind of a party is this that's what they take a catastrophe and then they model their plans on that catastrophe?
Right. And the dilemma is, again, we got Nancy Pelosi as speaker, as the leader of the Democrats in the House. If the Democrats take back the House, then she would be speaker again. It's her policies. But the people that are waiting in the wings behind her, you know, someone in the chat room just asked about Stephen Jaffe, who's challenging Nancy Pelosi, primarying her in San Francisco. If he's a good candidate. The question is, if you take out Pelosi, though, then we're stuck with Steny Hoyer, right?
Well, maybe. The thing is that Stephen Jaffe is not going to be the congressman, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. I would, if I lived in San Francisco as I used to, I would certainly vote for him. But Pelosi is very, very popular in San Francisco.
Right.
Because she was at one time a very good Congress member.
Yep.
And people also are very she's a progressive. I mean, basically, she's a little bit of a corporate progressive, but basically she's a progressive, certainly on all the social issues. So the gay community loves her. Feminist community loves her, generally speaking. And so she's not going to lose her election.
Right.
The thing is that there are a lot of younger members of the Democratic caucus in Congress who are saying, you know, she's been leader too long. There's a lot of failure. I mean, you can't, for example, your leader should be able to go to your district and help you to win your election.
Yes.
Your election. She's the opposite of that. No one wants her in any elections. Every Congress, every candidate, every Blue America candidate, when I ask them, who do you want to come into your district? Everybody says the same thing. Can you help us get Bernie? Can you help us get Elizabeth Warren?
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe some of them will say, can you help us get Ted Lieu?
Mm.
That's what we're hearing. Now people are saying, can you help us get Ro Khanna?
Wow.
Which is amazing.
Yeah.
You know how many times I've heard people say, can you help us get Nancy Pelosi? Not zero. I hear less than zero. What's less than zero? Keep her away.
Uh-huh.
We don't want Nancy Pelosi.
Right.
They don't want to be associated. People have said to me, Nancy wants to endorse me. What am I going to do?
Oy.
They don't want her endorsement. They don't want anything to do. That's the leader of our party.
Yeah, we're in trouble. I mean, that's the thing. And, you know, I tell people, I had a conversation with Harvey J.K. on the show last week. And he asked me, we were talking about the idea of Bernie running again in 2020. And he asked, do I think Bernie should, you know, become a Democrat? And I said, you know, that's a really tough answer. The only way, I don't think we're ready for a third party yet to take out the Republicans. I think the only way to beat the Republicans at this point is with the Democratic Party. But the Democratic Party is the circular firing squad.
And Bernie, why should Bernie become any more of a Democrat than he already is?
Yeah.
I mean, he ran last time.
Yep.
He did well. If Debbie Wasserman Schultz wasn't cheating, he'd probably be president now.
I hear you. Yep. But my point was that there is no, I mean, I think people should keep trying to build up a third party, a progressive party, whatever, work on the inside of the Democratic Party to change it. I think they'd have a better chance of doing that than coming from left field with certainly the Greens aren't ready to take on anybody to win a majority in Congress. And so the Democratic Party is what we have. So we got to change it from the inside.
Right, exactly. I agree. The Democrats have to take, progressives have to take over the Democratic Party.
Yeah,
and then if the Republican wing of the Democratic Party, the Blue Dogs and the New Dems, if they want to leave, good.
Yeah,
good. Let them leave. They'll let them start their own party, and which will die a quick death since there's no popular support for what they do. All there is money support for what they do. There's just special interests who are willing to fork out the money for these Blue Dogs and New Dems, and that's it. There's you don't ever see any activity or any interest from real human beings in Blue Dogs and New Dems and their horrible Republican policies. No one cares about that. People who care about those policies are Republicans.
Mm-hmm. Right. So how do we do this? I mean, obviously, we need Blue America recruiting more.
You know, we're slowly doing it. But just last year, when you talked about something like single payer, Hillary Clinton could poo-poo it and not get booed off the stage.
Right.
She'd be booed off the stage.
That's right.
Literally, she would be booed off the stage if she came up with her stupid ideas about incrementalism and letting people die. I mean, even Obamacare, I mean, you know, it's done a lot of good for a lot of people, and it deserves credit for that.
Yep.
But it's basically a very, very moderate Republican approach that saves the insurance industry.
Well,
that's how it was developed.
It came from the Heritage Foundation.
There's a much better way to do this, and Bernie keeps talking about it, and it's Medicare for All, and that is a very, very, very popular position right now in the country among Democrats and independents and even some Republicans, not the crazy ones, but everyone knows what Medicare is. Everyone loves Medicare, who has anything to do with Medicare, and they want that for the country, and it's time.
Right, but the party is not signing on to it. Where's Nancy Pelosi on even a public option as a way of fixing the Affordable Care Act?
Yes, she's a problem, and she's got to go. And when she goes, it's very, very important that her whole leadership team goes with her.
Right.
So not just Nancy Pelosi. It's always got to be Nancy Pelosi and Steny Hoyer and Joe Crowley. I mean, Joe Crowley is the designated next leader of the party. He is so much worse than Nancy Pelosi and Steny Hoyer that it isn't even funny. It's horrifying how bad this guy is. Nancy Pelosi is a split situation. She has a lot of going for her. There's a lot of good to Nancy Pelosi. There are a lot of things about her you could talk about that especially in the past. Joe Crowley has never had a good day in his miserable life. So you remember I told you I had a friend who was probably passing?
Yes.
I gotta jump now.
Okay, Howie Klein. Thank you. Go be with your friend. We'll talk later. And send my love. See, people die. Howie had to jump because a friend of his is in the hospital, and it sounds like the end is near. We need universal health care. We need Medicare for all. We need, at the very least, a public option so people like you and I could buy into Medicare. It's what we've got to work on. And we've got to work on getting progressives elected to Congress. That's what Howie does at the Blue America PAC. All right. With that, well, we are at the end of the hour anyway. Tomorrow, Giuliana Forlano will be back. So we'll try to end the week on a fun note, if it's at all possible. As always, thank you for listening. Thank you for being here. I'm Nicole Sandler at NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network. We'll talk to you tomorrow.